We're in conversation with Dustin Spratt. He is the chief of perfusion with the Royal Columbian Hospital, and we've got this series that we've been doing for a while. We've been talking about what perfusion is, what a perfusionist does, and he's been talking about the importance of the machine called ECLS and how he's been very instrumental in the creation of a portable version of the system. So we're going to discuss in more depth as to how vital it is that this particular machine is now in place at the Royal Columbian Hospital. So you mentioned the cost of the equipment before we went into a traffic break. How important is it that something like this is upgraded on a constant basis or kept in great shape?
Well, it's vital. One is to meet all the safety standards and also for, you know, effective and safe treatment of the patients. When we first started the program, We were jerry-rigging or MacGyvering was kind of the most common thing. We were taking already existing equipment and trying to put it together to, you know, facilitate these transports and retrievals. And that's where, you know, we worked with Furno, and, you know, we have to thank the foundation and all of the donors and the all the people that helped to kind of fundraise for that stretcher. As I mentioned, it was $50,000 for to have one that was actually designed to withstand all of the stresses in aircraft. And our equipment is quite expensive, and we have some equipment that we've modified that down the road we would like to bring it into more of the modern era with equipment that is designed specifically for what we're trying to do, like with transports. There's a lot of regulations when it comes to, from Transport Canada to the aviation community, that we have to meet when we're doing all these things. We strive very hard to achieve all these, but there is quite a significant cost.
So when we talk about the cost, you said you've had some help from the foundation, and you would like the community, British Columbians, residents of BC, to help you out on the fund side of things with generous donations.
Yes, the foundation is fantastic for helping individuals like myself. And, and I think there's been discussions about the exciting work that's going on in the cath lab as well. Mm-hmm. They're instrumental to us in our departments to help us to really be able to give the best of care to all of the population within the Fraser Health region. I've been so privileged to be able to work with some great people and great donors as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just so privileged to and humbled by the support that people kind of give.
Right. Have you had a lot of South Asians that you've dealt with in relation to the perfusion side of things? When we look at the South Asian community?
Yes. I mean, in our region, the South Asian community is such a large part and very generous too. I have to say is that I'm just overwhelmed by the support as well. Just, you know, not always, doesn't have to be financial, but, you know, there's a lot of support within the community, and the community itself is so so connected.
Right.
And it's quite impressive.
So when you mentioned that the support can certainly be financial, but you're also looking for other support. What kind of support are you looking for?
Well, I think just word of mouth. I mean, letting people know. I mean, it's surprising how many people don't know that the Royal Columbian Hospital is the center of Fraser Health as the tertiary care center. That we are the largest cardiac center in the province. Mm-hmm. We do the highest number of acute care. Our acute patients. So, you know, I was quite surprised that people didn't know
that
Royal Columbian is not a new
Royal Columbian.
That's
yet.
Right. It's not a new Westminster Hospital, but it's actually the center hub of acute care within Fraser Health. So, if people can get out and just let people know, you know, cardiac, we're the leaders within the province, you know, largest number of cases. We did over 950 cases last year. With our new build, we're going to be even doing more, and which is really exciting, the new build as well.
So when you talk about the new build that you've just mentioned, what sort of things are happening there?
Well, we're in the development stage, and it's quite exciting now. We're actually down to where we're looking at individual rooms and the flows between the rooms, and there's timelines. And you can go on the Fraser Health website, and it actually describes where we're at within the redevelopment, and it actually shows some depictions of how it's going to look. And it's pretty amazing, the different phases, and I am actually really excited about how this is all coming together.
Which really is fantastic when you see expansion within a particular building and a community that you've been part of, and it just grows. It's so satisfying. And you mentioned the rooms, and with that, of course, comes equipment.
Exactly. There's a lot of equipment that's going to be needed, and the goal is to have the new build is to be the state-of-the-art, the best that there is out there, the best for patient flows, the best equipment, the best treatments. And I'm just impressed with just the work and the dedication of everybody going forward in actually building this, and the excitement that now that we're actually starting to see conceptual drawings and that, it's
right.
People are even getting more excited about, okay, now we can start to plan and look at what do we need in the room? How do we best care for the patient in the room? What is needed?
It's just so wonderful to hear. It's so wonderful to hear. It's almost like I want to go to the website right now and take a look as to how it's all playing out, but it just goes back to how important it is that people support and that they give generously.
Well, this is their community.
Right.
I mean, this is their primary tertiary care center for their whole region. And, you know, I think everyone would want the best for their family members and for themselves as well. So, you know, helping support the hospital in any way that they can, even volunteers, it's just fantastic.
I initially want to I want to talk about what we initially mentioned, how you were explaining the whole perfusion, how it works, how the blood is drawn out. Do you find that you have a lot of blood donors as well?
I'm not part of the blood donors, but we always encourage, because cardiac is the highest usage of blood products within all of the services that use blood products. So we do always encourage people, and normally we're locked in the OR, so I don't get opportunities like this, but I would encourage people that if you haven't been a blood donor before, to donate. If you are a blood donor, make sure that you do your regular donations, because it is important. It saves lives. It's no question that blood donation saves lives.
How long does this process take of perfusion?
For the case?
Yes.
It depends on the case. On average, for just like a basic heart bypass case,
right?
The cases run between 5 to 6 hours.
Wow.
But we normally will support the patient there for 90 minutes to 2 hours. But on more complicated cases, complicated aortic procedures,
right,
those cases can run up to 8 hours, where we're actually supporting the patients, because those cases are quite complex, and what we'll have to do in those cases, the surgeon may have to replace the whole aorta or section of the aorta where we normally put the tubes in. So in those cases, we'll cool the patient down to very cold, like about 15 to 17 degrees Celsius.
Oh, my goodness.
And then when we get them down to that cold, we can actually drain the blood from them and keep it in the machine. And then we can actually stop the machine temporarily so that the surgeon can take those tubes out. So at that point, the patient has no circulation, is not breathing, but they're cold. Does that profound hypothermia.
There is consciousness, even though
They're sedated.
Right.
So they're sedated. But there's people who hear examples of, you know, someone's fallen in the water and they've revived them after a long period of time. And this is similar. So we use the same kind of techniques we do it ourselves. We mechanically cool the patient down, allow the manipulation, put the graft in. Now we can put the tubes back in. Now we can warm the, take over the function again, put blood back in the patient, warm them up. And then the surgery is over. So, but those ones take a long period of time, and they're quite sophisticated, because we can actually nowadays as well, we'll actually specifically pump blood directly through the brain, either forwards or backwards, depending on the technique and what the surgery is. So it's very simplified what I'm saying,
but
I have to say it's even after 20-some years now, it's still, I'm amazed, and it's cool what we do.
Yeah.
And for those going into the science field, look up what perfusion is. You'd be surprised at what we do within the OR.
Yes, I bet. It just sounds so fascinating. Well, Dustin Spratt, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak with us. We truly appreciate it.
Well, I thank you, and I thank the listeners of SPICE and all of the community for all of their support.